few weeks ago, we were in Sydney and we were being picked up to go to some meetings. And for the first time in my life, I got to be in a Tesla. Who's been in a Tesla before? Give us a wave. And it was, as we got in the Tesla with the glass roof, it was fascinating. And the big kind of iPad vibe at the front. And the guy basically said, we're basically driving in a laptop on wheels. That's what's going on right now. And so as we drove across Sydney in this kind of nice new car and luxurious car, suddenly a world that I had never kind of been aware of or open to opened up to me. And suddenly my Tesla awareness kicked in. I don't know if you've ever had this kind of experience, but when your eyes are open to something, you start to see them everywhere. You would not believe how many Teslas are on the Sunshine Coast. I'd never seen them, I'd never noticed them, and I'm like, everywhere we go, Danielle, there's another one. In fact, the other day, we drove from Alex Heads down to Moffat Beach, and I just, because I'm competitive, I said, let's have a competition of how many Teslas we're going to see between Alex Heads and Moffat Beach. And she goes, oh, three or four. I said, no way, there'll be at least 10. And about halfway down, we'd already seen about 12. They're everywhere. Now, were they there before? Absolutely they were. You know what happened? I just became aware that they were already there. I don't know if you've had that experience. Just recently, my daughter took me shopping and she bought me some shoes. And I'm wearing them right now. They're the New Balance. They've got the N on them. And she told me, these weren't cool once, but now they've become cool. Okay. So for those of you who think you're ahead of time, you weren't cool before, but now you are, okay? Just to be clear. And so now, same thing. Everywhere I go, I'm starting to see New Balance shoes. Why? Because my eyes are... I don't know, if you had it, maybe you're pregnant. And suddenly everywhere, everybody's pregnant. You ever have that moment? Okay, all right, just work with me. But it was a reality before, but your eyes have been open to this reality. And this morning I want to talk to you about our eyes being open to a spiritual truth, to the good news of who Jesus Christ is. And my hope is if you're new to church or you haven't been to church like this before or maybe for a long time, that today something you'd have my Tesla experience. And then from now on, wherever you go, when you hear carols, When you see the manger kind of scene at a shopping center, when you're giving gifts, even when you just see the stars in the sky, suddenly your eyes are going to be open that there is a God who loves you and cares about you, and your awareness of Him will open up. See, the Bible tells us this in Psalm chapter 19, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. When you see the stars in the sky, I want you to be aware there's a God in heaven who created that, and He loves you, and He wants a relationship with you. When you go to the beach and you see this incredible creation, don't just think, oh, what a slip, slop, slap. Think that there's a God. Think that. That's good, which is another sign of my age, right? Is that from the 80s as well? Just think, there's a God who created all of this and He wants a relationship with you. I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus and why Jesus came. So the Bible tells us that creation declares God's glory. The Bible tells us, and I'll read from Hebrews, it says throughout our history, Hebrews chapter 1, God has spoken to our ancestor, the Israelites, by His prophets in many different ways. The revelation He gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us, living in these days, this is when Jesus was born, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, His son Jesus. Jesus is the language of heaven, the appointed heir of everything, for through Him God created the panorama of all things and all time. One more verse for you, Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says, Christ, the one we're celebrating, whose birth at Christmas we celebrate, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. See, we can't see the God. We can see God's craftsmanship. We can see His handiwork. We can see His incredible creativity. We can see it in one another. When someone does something kind and loving, we can see the image of God. But ultimately, that is clouded or polluted. So God said, I need to send my Son. And when we look at Jesus, he's the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. This is Jesus. So I want to talk about two things this morning that we're rejoicing about. Two things that I want you to remember over this next month. Two things that if you really catch them will absolutely change and transform your life. The first one is so simple. It's this, is that God loves people. Jesus became a human being, the visible image of the God we can't see. He became visible to show us that God loves people. He embraced the outcasts. He welcomed the marginalized. He ate and drank with notorious sinners. Little children loved him and came to him. They sensed his love and his approval and his affirmation. Jesus was a must-have guest at any party, particularly after he turned water into wine. I mean, come on, how many wouldn't be going, let's get that Jesus guy on the list. It's surely going to cut the budget of the party right down if we get him over here and fill some tanks up with water. How good would that be? He was popular to hang around with people. In fact, the only people who didn't sense his love, the only people who didn't sense his affirmation were the religious elite. And Jesus confronted the religious elite. Because they were putting boundaries between God and people. They were creating legalistic rules and laws that no one could live up to. And the ones that Jesus clashed with, it wasn't the sinners, it wasn't the poor, it wasn't the outcast. It was those who were creating unrealistic barriers for people. You might find yourself here today and at some point in your life, you've encountered some church people who have badly misrepresented God. Maybe through some experience, you've seen the destructive side of humanity clothed in religion, clothed in legalism, and you've pushed away not just church, but you pushed away God because of that bad experience. And today, I just want to say on behalf of all churches, if you've had a bad church experience, I'm sorry. I would urge you to not look at God just through your experience of church, but to look at God through the filter of Jesus. He is the visible image of an invisible God. And we hope, as many great churches like ours, we hope to present the Jesus who shows us that God loves people. He loves people. Every person in this room, he loves you, adores you, thinks about you. I'm not sure that I really, really understood God's love until I became a dad. And when I became a dad, you began to sense that this kind of thing welling up in your heart. The moment I first saw my son, it's like, oh my gosh, there it is. I was probably never a big crier until my kids became teenagers. And then it's okay. Not tears of pain, okay. I remember sitting at the plaza with my daughter Gemma. She must have been about 14 years old. And we're having a little coffee date and she's just talking about her plans and what she's going to do in her life. And she starts to talk about, I might just move to America in a couple of years. And my heart's going, no, I was devastated. And so there in front of everybody, I just started to tear up. She's like, oh, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, put my sunnies on. I'm like, nothing happening here. Why? Because I could feel this love for her. In our family, I've got two great boys, their weddings, we were blubbering messes. When my oldest son moved to Sydney, we just sobbed our way through a family dinner of farewell. I find that tears and emotions are closer to the surface these days. Not because I'm breaking down, okay? But because I feel love for my kids in a deep way. I want you to know that that kind of love is it's a tiny glimpse of the love that our Heavenly Father has for every person on this planet. And when Jesus came as the visible image of the invisible God, it was to show us that God loves us and he demonstrated. That's the first thing I want you to remember. 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 says, God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world, so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us first and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Next time you're singing a Christmas carol, remember this, God loves you. Next time you're putting a Christmas gift under the tree, have your Tesla moment and remember this, God loves you. He's passionate about you and your life. That's the first thing I want you to know. The second thing I want you to know about Jesus, this is what Jesus showed, is this, that God has the power to change lives. He has the power to change lives. I love hearing Liam's story and seeing Liam and just the transformation and the joy and the love oozing out of him. And so many people in our church have had experiences and right around the world of God's love transforming them. God loves to change us. It reminds me of a lady who came in from the way out in the bush for the very first time to a shopping center in the Big Smoke in the city. And she'd never seen an elevator before. She brought her kids along, and she's about 65, and she's got these adult kids and grandkids, and she sees this old guy hop into an elevator and press a couple of buttons, and then she waits. She's like, where's he gone? What's happened? Then a few minutes later, this handsome-looking young rooster, a bit like Liam, jumps out of the elevator straight away. And she's like, in? And she goes to her kids, quickly, go and get your father. Bring him over here. We could get an upgrade right now. Change is possible. You can only hope, girls. Reminds me of the question, I know we've got some psychologists in the room today, but how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but the light bulb has to want to be changed. Come on, you like that, Sam? That's good, isn't it? Just one. God has the power to change lives. When Jesus came, he demonstrated it. He took people who were tormented and unable to live in normal society, and through the power of God, not through a religious program, not through a community in and of itself, but through the power of God, he transformed the people. He took people who were sick, who were isolated, who were poor, who were self-centered and selfish, and he transformed their hearts. And he demonstrated to you and I that God has the power to change lives. Our church's vision is to see lives transformed. Our church's name is C3 Powerhouse, and it goes like this. It's the power of God when we let him into our lives that transforms us. We've heard about it today. We know that the power of God to change, he can take someone's life like Teresa, high functioning in her career, got achievements, but inwardly robbed of joy because of unresolved pain. And so I just got what Teresa read out earlier. He can come and change a heart who can suddenly now have the power to forgive, could never forgive in her own right, could heal the pain of our past and fill me with joy, hope, and purpose. I love this. She said this, I'm not happy. I'm not just happy. I have a joy that bubbles up on the inside of me. I've found what was missing in my life. This is what Jesus does. When we let him into our life, he transforms us from the inside out. He can take a young man like Liam, whose life's in a negative spiral, and he can turn it around. He can take a hard heart, a selfish heart, a heart that's trapped in destructive patterns and can't seem to break out of those destructive patterns in our own strength. And when God comes into a person's life, he can make the change supernaturally. He can take a person like Jason, footy-loving, double black belt CPA. Come on, we need more of them. But ultimately, who's in a moment of crisis realizes that maybe there's spiritual truth out there and something's missing in my life. And then through an encounter with God and inviting Jesus into your life, he can begin to change you, make you more filled with peace. Take anxiety and change it to peace. He can take a judgmental heart and make it full of love. He can transform us from the inside out. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. This is Jesus talking. The thief doesn't come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the devil. The devil's purpose is to rip your life off, to ruin your life, to wreck your relationships, to get you into a destructive or proud, isolated lifestyle. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. I like what one pastor says. He says, Jesus makes life better and he makes us better at life. I want you to remember over these next few weeks of Christmas, I want you to have your Tesla moment. When you see a Christmas tree, when you see some of those council signs, when you see presence or you hear carols, I want you to remember that God loves you and He has power to change your life from the inside out. He wants to give you a life. You see, education's vital. Being part of a community is really important. But in and of themselves, being in a community where there's good education will not change your heart. It won't transform anxiety to peace. It won't make a shift. What will make a shift? And this is what Jesus offers, is not just a religious lifestyle. He offers His Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of us and radically change us. He says that I'll come and make you a new creation. So whatever it is that you're facing that needs change, I want you to know today that it can happen through Jesus. Whether you've got no joy in your life, well, He's the Prince of Peace and He's the King of Joy. He'll bring it into your world. Whether you've got no peace, He is that Prince of Peace. Whether you're caught in destructive and spiraling addictions, He can come and bring the power to change, a supernatural power that's not reliant on your own strength. Where you've got a lack of purpose and you're just going around in circles wondering what life's really all about, He comes to give purpose. He comes to give meaning. You are created for a purpose. That's what He comes to bring. If you're a workaholic, which can be one of the most destructive addictions, He comes to bring balance and transformation from the inside out. If you feel unloved, don't have a sense of worth, He comes that you might be loved, and He comes to transform you from the inside out. Whatever it is, if selfishness is controlling your life, if you're caught in that spiral and you can't seem to break out, here's the great news. He doesn't just want you to be a church attender. He wants to come into your life and change you so that everything shifts. Can we close our eyes together right now? Father, I just thank You that at this time, this season of Christmas, that we can pause and reflect of Your love and Your purpose for us. Lord, that through Jesus, change can happen. Through Jesus, transformation can happen. I just thank You that You love every person in this room so much. And I thank You that You have the power to change us from the inside out if we'll receive You. So this is what I'm going to do, and we do this in every service, just while your eyes are closed. If you're watching online, this is for you as well. If you're here today, in a moment, if you'd like to invite God into your life, these three who stood up today talked about a moment where they invited God into their lives. It's one thing to know about God. It's one thing to go to church. But it's a totally different thing where God comes and lives in our life and we have a relationship with Him. And I'd love to help you. It's my greatest joy. Every week, people in this church connect with God and begin a relationship with Him that's powerful and transforming. And so I'm going to ask just in a few moments, while eyes are closed or your heads are bowed, we're in our seats, we're praying. I'm going to give an opportunity. Just if you would like to begin a relationship with God, you want His love and His power to change, to come to you, then I'm just going to ask you in your seat to raise your hand, just put it up high and say, "That's me." And I'll say, "That's awesome. I see your hand. You can put it down." Then I'm going to lead us in a prayer in our seats that we're all going to pray with. Today is going to be the moment of connecting with God that will bring transformation, purpose, peace, and joy. You might have once walked with God, had a relationship with Him. But something went down. You got distracted, busy. Maybe you just didn't connect with the style of church you were at. Maybe the things of this world just took you out and you find yourself here today and you know something's missing. You know you're not right with God. In a moment, I'd love you to raise your hand and say, "John, that's me. I want to come back to Christ." Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just not sure if when you die you're going to go to heaven and you'd like to be sure. You want to have an absolute peace in your heart. Then I'd love to pray with you that you could have that peace and that confidence in your heart that when you die, you're going to be with Jesus. We don't get to heaven by being good. We get to heaven because Jesus paid a price on the cross and He died for our sin. So right across the room, if you're saying, John, today I'd love to begin a relationship with God. I want to invite him into my life. Or I want to come back to Christ because I've drifted away and I want to make him first again. Something's missing in my life. Or I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. Right now, just raise your hand up and say, that's me. I want to connect with God. Just say, that's me. Raise it up real high. Thanks. I see your hand. That's awesome. Thank you. I see your hand over there. That's awesome. Who else right now? Right up the back there. Thank you. I see your hand. That's awesome. Who else over here? Fantastic, mate. Thank you. Thanks, mate. I see your hand right down here in the third row. That's fantastic. Who else right now? You can put your hand down. You're saying, yeah, today I want to begin a relationship with God. I need God to come into my life. Or I want to reconnect with God because I've drifted away. Or I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. I feel like there's a couple more people right now. And often what happens when God knocks on our heart, it's that there's a sense of, oh, I need to do this. Over here on my left, I see your hand. Thanks, mate. There's a sense in your heart that you know something's missing. And you know you need to change. But stubbornness or pride will stop us surrendering. I want to just encourage you today. Today is not the day to be stubborn. Today is not the day to hold out. On the other side of your yes comes a magnificent presence of God into your heart and life, a friendship with God that will change everything. But you just got to push past the obstacles of pride and stubbornness and say yes to God. So I'm going to look around the room one more time. There's about six people who've already raised your hands. If there's anyone else who wants to join, right now's the moment. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Say, yep, I want to surrender to God. I want to get right with God. I need him in my life. One more time, looking right across the room. Your heart will be pounding. That's awesome. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else right now? Your heart will be pounding because God's talking to you. Awesome. I see your hand. Who else right now? Just give us a wave. So yeah, that's me as well. I need to include me in this prayer. I want to get right with God wherever you are. Fantastic, fantastic. All right. So many, about nine people, you've raised your hands. That's awesome. Church, can we put our hands together for everybody who raised their hands? Magnificent. If you're watching online, this is for you as well. We're going to pray a prayer. I want to include you in this. Can we pray this prayer together, everybody? For those of you who raised your hand, I want you just to pray this from your heart. You're not praying it to me. You're praying it to God, and he hears you. So we're going to join with you. Say these words after me. Dear God in heaven, I thank you that you love me, that you sent Jesus, your son, to die on a cross in my place for my sin. And I'm turning to you today, and I put my faith in you. I thank you, you died for my sin, and I'll follow you. I renounce the devil and all his works. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and the power of God. I thank you today. I'm forgiven, born again, going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for everybody. You raise your hand. God bless you. Thank you. What I'd really love to encourage you with, if you raised your hand today, first of all, congratulations, whether it's the first time inviting God into your life, whether it's a recommitment to him, I want to encourage you, just keep coming to church. Church is a place where you can keep growing in your relationship with God. This is not a one-off moment. We want to keep growing in our relationship with him. So we want to invite you. You're welcome at any point. Just keep coming along. If you're online and you've never physically been here and you're on the Sunshine Coast, we want to invite you to come along. That'd be awesome. Also, let me just encourage you. There's a course that we run, and we'll be doing it again early next year, called Alpha. 28 million people around the world have done this course, introducing us to who Jesus is, what the Bible says about him, a whole lot of questions. And so it's a great course with conversation that we run. I'd encourage you to look out for that. It would be so helpful. I am going to invite up my beautiful wife. God bless you. Remember, he's good and he's got the power to help you change.